from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go. Hey, Sam.
Sports Radio 610.
All right, day 9, Texans training camp. Adam Spillane alongside John Lopez. Aaron Raybould with us at the Methodist Training Center. And then we have Figgy back in the studio. Day 9, right now we are doing 11 on 11. Texans are working on the red zone. And John, I've got some numbers on just how bad the Texans were in the red zone last season. We'll get to that at 11. But it is a very different day today than it was when we were last here on Friday. Sunny. It is hot. But there are a lot of people here.
Or the last 6 days. 6 days, 5 days, whatever it is. Look, you touched on it, man. This is Houston. Houston has arrived to the party. The other thing about this, like you said, they're going 11 on 11 in the red zone. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything that we see. But the crowd. Woo, baby. I got here probably right a little before 9 o'clock. There were probably 1,000, 1,500 people outside the stands. I don't know what it looks like right now, but this is the biggest crowd by far. Funny what a little clear skies can do for you.
Well, they are wrapped around this back end zone here to our right. That wasn't the case, at least when I was here on Friday. I don't know what it was like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when you guys were here. But there are a lot of people here. CJ Stroud is practicing. Remember, he got stepped on Saturday, limped off a little bit, but he is fine. For the most part, though, that's really it on the injury front. Case Keenum not practicing, probably just a veteran's day for him. Still no Joe Mixon, though.
Still no Joe Mixon. That's the one I was going to add. I'm not really worried. I shouldn't even say that. I'm not worried. I think it's probably a little thing. I trust D'Amico on this one. But it's something that you want to get some reps. And looking for John Metchie, terrific, terrific play right there. Like you talk about putting it in the bucket. It was actually Davis Mills. Connecting with
Xavier Hutchinson
on that one. So terrific play there. But, yeah, clear, hot skies. The only thing I've seen so far that is very indicative of the weather is our guy, Frank Ross, wearing a black T-shirt, and it is drenched. It is absolutely drenched. So kind of a rookie mistake there by the veteran.
You know, I'm always surprised at the coaches that will wear the sleeves. Yeah. They will wear the long sleeves and, like, the little pullover jackets. And it's not just football coaches who do this.
No.
There were some – I knew some baseball guys who would do the exact same thing where we would be in the desert of Utah – in the middle of August, and they're wearing like a heavy long sleeve turtleneck.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
You can
with
have
pants
that.
Too, and they're wearing pants.
You can have that.
I just I don't understand it. Sometimes are they trying to look tough? Are they trying to look? You know, are they trying to pull off? I don't know. It's very strange. Like, it's hot. You can dress like it's hot.
Absolutely. And I will say this. As we're getting into some of the 11-on-11, some of the real exciting stuff here at Texans training camp, I feel like, and we're going to give you updates. We'll give you the passing thoughts in about, I'd say about 14 minutes, as well as play-by-play, so to speak, from here on the 50-yard line next to the practice field. The offense can use a good day. That's how I pulled in. I'm watching them doing their drills. They come out here, start doing the red zone. The offense has not been bad. We've seen some spectacular plays offensively, and it's absolutely what you thought it was going to be. So I don't know if it's a good news thing for the defense or what it is, but the offense can really use a good day. And as I say that, another touchdown here in the red zone, and this time I believe it was with Tim Boyle as quarterback. But, this is going to be a nice day for the offense, hopefully.
All right, we will hear from Noah Brown, Texans wide receiver, coming off the practice field, part of that very good, very deep wide receiver core. Noah Brown had some big games last year, especially that Cincinnati game where he had 172 receiving yards in that big win over the Bengals. Now, on Saturday, we heard from Damian Pierce for the first time this camp. And I think Damian Pierce went into training camp last year with big expectations. He was a guy that I think a lot of people figured would run for 1,000 yards in his second NFL season, and it just didn't happen for him.
No.
Got off to a slow start, and then he was basically overtaken on that running back depth chart by Devin Singletary, and really the only impact that Damian Pierce made was in special teams on kickoff return. So big camp here for Damian Pierce in his second, and is now in his third NFL season, his second camp with D'Amico Ryans. And on Saturday, Damian Pierce basically took the blame for what was kind of a disappointing year last year.
5 years from now, bro, I'm going to be able to say that year two was my best year. Probably not on paper, but the process and the growth that I had mentally is going to be something that's carry over to every year that I play in this league. Just being able to deal with the lows, being able to battle through injuries, being able to bounce back, being able to just sit back and see that, you know, it's necessarily not a bad thing. You know, it's unfortunate, right? You know, nobody wants to be on the sideline. Nobody wants to be hurt. You know, of course, I want to be P's. You know, so I want to be DP. I want to be out there making plays. I want to be out there with my guys, I want to be out with my brothers. But ultimately, like, the first step in solving a problem is honesty. And if we're being honest, I didn't invest enough time into myself. I didn't invest enough time into my body. I didn't invest enough time in making sure I was, you know, clear on the playbook and sound in my fundamentals. So at the end of the day, the only person I can point the finger at is me.
Look, man, that is exactly what you want to hear. Like, you couldn't have drawn it up any better from the guy that we all talked about last year. We knew, I mean, he got benched. You know, he had his special teams play. Obviously had some injuries that he was dealing with as well. You couldn't have drawn it up any better. And the response is what we're all looking for right now. And thus far, it's been pretty good. D'Amico has talked about him, you know, obviously in good terms. And I think he's going to be integral and can really go a long way with the new kickoff rules. He's been, I'll get to that as well during passing thoughts, but he's been pretty integral on that.
Well, let's just kind of run down some of the numbers for Damian Pierce. As a rookie, he ran for 939 yards. He would have gotten to 1,000 had he not been hurt at the end of the season. Last year, 416 yards, so more than cut in half. His long last year, only 22 yards. This is a guy who had a 75-yard run as a rookie. And then the stuff that really matters the most, yards per attempt. 4.3 yards per attempt in 2022, 2.9 yards per attempt last year. And then the success rate, 47% as a rookie, 37.9% last year. Now, some of it is offensive line related. There were some inconsistencies up there. You had kind of a revolving door, especially early in the season. But again, a lot of it is also on the player, on the running back.
Oh, it's on the player. No, that doesn't let him off the hook. Like this is not, they're not doing anybody any favors here. You know, they're not doing anything like just because they like him, and they do like him. But no, this is crucial for him. Don't get that twisted. He knows what he needs to do,
and he will get some opportunities this year. I mean, you know that with Joe Mixon's older, Joe Mixon's not going to be on the field. most likely all 17 games. He's not going to be on the field all three downs, so there will be chances for Dameon Pierce to make an impact, like you said, both in the run game and in special teams. I think the thing that I also want to see from him, how much does he improve on the stuff that doesn't include running the ball? You know, catching the ball out of the backfield. Pass blocking was a big thing. Remember, he wasn't playing as a rookie on third downs and really in a lot of passing situations because of pass protection. He wasn't very good at it. He understood he wasn't very good at it. And he even admitted, remember that first game against the Colts, his debut, when they went to overtime and he was not in the game at all during that overtime? He said, Rex should be out on the field because he is better in pass protection than me. So how much better is he in that aspect of the game? Because everybody wants to talk about how well do you run the football. Being a running back in the NFL is a whole lot more than just running the football.
And he learned it the hard way. See, and that's why I like that those comments that we just heard from Dameon Pierce. It's not like he was making excuses, you know. And I think, you know, the pass blocking, as you talked about, it's too often just minimized. But it's not minimized for the teams in the NFL, and they understand what he's got to do. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, coaches probably care more about how you do in pass protection than you do with anything else. They probably care about two things the most, fumbling and pass protection when it comes to running backs. That sort of stuff really matters. Okay, we also heard from Tommy Townsend for the first time. And listen, hearing from a punter during training camp is really not that big a deal. But Tommy Townsend is coming from Kansas City, where he just won back-to-back Super Bowls. And I do think that it's interesting to get the perspective from him, just because he has been part of a team that has won at the absolute highest levels over the last couple of years. And he was asked, like, what was it about those Chiefs teams that allowed them to come through when things really mattered?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I think one of the biggest things I noticed, you know, from my time in Kansas City is, like, when things really get tough or, you know, we get into tight situations, big games, late in the game, trying to come back and win, nobody on the sideline freaks out. Like, everyone is very calm. Everyone knows what they need to do. And it's just, everybody knows what they have to do. Everybody knows their job, and everybody just wants to go out and execute. You know, nobody is, you know, wide-eyed or freaking out or making the moment too big. And I think that's been one of the, you know, coolest things to watch in Kansas City was just how, you know, all the players treat those big moments.
You know, we've talked about this, but I think it's worth mentioning again right here. The types of players that are coming in aren't just, like, quote, culture guys. They're guys that have been in winning programs. And I don't care if you're the punter, not the punter, or whatever. It does resonate when he talks about the similarities in the two places. You know, that those there are characteristics that winning teams have.
And remember, it's not like those Chiefs teams, even though they've won back-to-back Super Bowls, it's not like there was no adversity during those Super Bowls.
They got off to a bad start. They had a bad regular season last year. It was bad for them. I mean, they finished with the third best record in the AFC. They had some really bad losses during that stretch. They had just that dreadful Christmas game against the Raiders where they looked absolutely awful.
Yeah.
But then they figured things out. And then you look at what they did in the playoffs. Okay, pretty easy win in the wild card game against Miami. But then the divisional round, they go to Buffalo. They're trailing in that game.
And then
they still find a way to win. AFC championship game against Baltimore. It looked like the Ravens were going to come back on them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they made the plays when they needed to. They forced some turnovers when they needed to. And then the Super Bowl, they're trailing again. They come back. They win that game. They get to overtime. And they were trailing in the Super Bowl against the Eagles as well. So that's what great teams do. Just because you're down on the scoreboard in the second quarter, it doesn't mean the game is over. Mm-hmm. They stay composed, and then they make plays when they have to make plays.
And it's almost like which came first, because all those things that you talked about, number 15 had something to do with it, too. So it's a matter of, you know, the culture that you have, the winning culture that you have, and the quarterback, the belief you have in him, and the belief that he has in himself. So all those things matter. And by the way, that's something that the Texans feel they have as well, obviously.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, but you look at the free agents that they brought in. Azeez Al-Shaair was in San Francisco when they went to the Super Bowl in 2019 and went to a couple of NFC Championship games after that. Stephon Diggs has done a lot of winning in Buffalo, getting to the playoffs, getting to the second round of the playoffs. What, each of the last 4 years, getting
Absolutely.
To an AFC Championship game in that span. Like, they have guys who...
Al-Shaair.
Yeah, they have guys,
yeah.
When you get to that part of the season, understand what it takes to win games, because... The Texans had some success last year with C.J. Stroud and with Tank Dell and with some of these other guys that they have on the roster. They've never been able to get past that step. So it's important to have guys that have been past that step because they understand what it takes to get that done.
And it's up and down the roster. It's also coaching. Like, start with Nick Caserio. I know he's a general manager, but what he can do, we kind of downplay. I mean, 17 years, 18 years, whatever it was. Then obviously D'Amico in San Francisco, Slowick in San Francisco. All these guys that have come in, coaches, players, and then it starts with the quarterback. It's all there.
Yes. So Texans, day 9 of training camp. We got first team offense back in now. Good. Now all the players are out of the way, so we can actually see.
How about that?
Yeah, that's always nice. It is game week. And so this week, the start of this week is a little bit different just because you are going to be playing a game here in a few days, playing the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, and then the Texans will stay in Ohio after that. They'll stick around for Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame enshrinement on Saturday, and then they'll play in Pittsburgh, a week from Saturday?
Yes.
So it is that time of the year where you start to get into this game day routine, and we brought this up on Friday, but I want to bring it up again. Playing preseason games, like, I don't think that you play the starters in the preseason on Thursday, as C.J. Stroud goes deep here to Stephon Diggs, incomplete. He was pressured a little bit on that play. But I do think it's important to get these guys live reps once you do get into the preseason.
Look, they're doing that right now, and they've done that a lot in these open practices, which is good. The players get juiced up a little bit. It's a lot more intense. We know it can get a little bit too intense occasionally.
Yes.
We've seen that the last two practices. Keeping an eye open for that today, obviously, as well. But now they're working on, it looks like post-kickoff, they're starting on the 35-yard line, so the entire playbook is open. And it's interesting, they have a couple of backups in on the offensive line, not for any injury-type purposes. I think they're just kind of rotating guys in.
I did see someone go into the tent, and I could not see who that was, but we'll let you know if it's someone that we have to, that if, you know, whoever comes out of there, or if it looks like it's something that might be somewhat serious. But the Texans so far, they've been pretty fortunate with just the injuries. There really has not been anything, like, significant.
You know, no.
You've had, you know, knock on wood, you've had some teams that have had to already deal with that at this point of camp, but so far the Texans have been able to get away with that. I mean, the big thing right now, I guess, is Mixon and getting him back on the field, but Aaron Raybould was just telling us a second ago that he's not practicing, but he has been in the huddles offensively, just trying to get guys on the right page with everything. And I think, again, That was a guy that I didn't mention a second ago when you mentioned guys that they brought in from outside the organization. But Joe Mixon played in a Super Bowl a couple years ago. He was in the NFC Championship game just 2 years ago. So that's a guy that also has experienced winning at the highest level.
Joe Mixon standing right in front of us as they go ones versus ones, full go right here at Texans training camp. And here's where I stand with Joe Mixon. I'm starting to believe, Adam, that that they're just kind of holding because of the Hall of Fame game. Maybe he had a little something. He's probably over it already. I think they're just kind of resting. He is an older running back. He's not ancient, but he's a little older running back. This might just be kind of that Laremy Tunsil type thing that they're doing with him. Hey, just take it easy. We'll ramp it up when we get to the Pittsburgh practice, to the Ohio practices.
He's got nothing wrapped up or anything like that.
No.
No, there's no heating pad or anything on anything. There's no ice on anything. It doesn't look like he's walking around with a limp.
He's running around the whole thing. I think this is just like giving him the old veteran break. Couple of pre-snap mistakes by the defense here, and the offense has had a good start here, so we'll keep you up to date on that, of course, as well.
Now, here's my thing, and it's nothing with Mixon. Just say that.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we just, like, say that?
Yeah.
Is it that hard to ask to know what's going
on? Well, D'Amico did say, he's not concerned or whatever, but he didn't say it's nothing, that it's just a veteran-type thing with Laremy. I really start to believe that's what it is.
I mean, again, just say it.
Just say
like,
it.
Like, I think they said it's a soft tissue thing. Okay, well, that could be a lot of things.
Yeah, and it could be bad.
There's a lot of soft tissue muscles out there. You know, why don't you go ahead and just, like, say what it is? Again, it's not that big a deal, but it is just kind of a bizarre approach to the whole thing, to where we just have to be so secretive about this stuff on, what, July 29th? I don't think you need to be as secretive as they have been so far. This is day 9 at camp. They will practice again here tomorrow, and then they hit the road. And then that's when things really start to, I want to say get real, but that's when the season really starts, when you're playing games, when you get into that game day routine. The Texans, of course, play the extra preseason game for playing in the Hall of Fame game against Caleb Williams and the Bears. They go to Pittsburgh, and then they've got the two preseason games here. One against the Rams, and the other one is against the Saints, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Davis Mills misses a wide open target there. We've talked about this. We talked about it a couple times last week, but of the quarterbacks, he clearly is the one that needs to pick up his game the most. I mean, that was a wide open little dump off, safe pass, and he threw it into the dirt. So this is something that kind of keep an eye on. Case Keenum is not practicing today. That is a Veterans Day. So Tim Boyle will be getting some more reps. And I don't know. I mean, it's not like we know what the stakes are with C.J. Stroud, and you want to keep him healthy. You got to have a guy that you can count on, and Davis Mills just been so inconsistent.
Yeah, I remember C.J. Stroud missed a couple of games last year. Davis Mills did not start either one of those games, and Davis Mills is a free agent after the season. So this is a showcase for him during this preseason. He's not going to be the starter here, but he has a chance to at least audition for 31 other teams over these four preseason games, because you know he's going to get a lot of snaps. All right, coming up next from on In the Loop here on Sports Radio 610, John Lopez will give us his passing thoughts from day 9 of training camp. We're live at the Methodist Training Center. It's day 9 of Texans training camp. You're listening to In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
It's Texans training camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, back at the Methodist Training Center, it's day 9 of Texans training camp. Adam Spillane and John Lopez with you. Mentioned earlier that there was someone in the injury tent for the Texans. It was Titus Howard, the right tackle. He has reemerged from the tent and appears to be okay, but at least for that last stretch of 11-on-11, it was Nick Brooker working with he was the first team right tackle for that last stretch. The guy who's second year man out of Ole Miss, who they picked up on from waivers. So that was who was playing right tackle with Blake Fisher, the second round pick, playing left tackle.
Right. Since Blake Fisher was there and Laremy gets the day off, it was Brooker there. But yeah, you're right. That's the first thing I noticed. He did seem to be moving around pretty good and seems to be out here.
But that's why, again, that's why you go and draft Blake Fisher in the second round.
Yes.
Because you need that second guy. Laremy Tunsil has not gotten through a full season in, I think, a long time. And the same thing with Titus Howard. Like, you need to be ready for when that tackle goes down, and you need to have a backup who can handle that role if it comes up.
And you just read my mind on the first of the passing thoughts here on day 9 at Texans training camp, and that was that. Like, I don't think Blake Fisher could have drawn up a better scenario for a team to go to. First of all, there's opportunity, but there's no real expectation, you know, like from the outside looking in, or from us, or whatever. Because it's Laremy Tunsil, it's Titus Howard. That's the story. They're going to be grabbing the headlines. Blake Fisher has gotten, I think, just about every rep as a starter at tackle. I mean, you can't ask for a better situation than that. And by the way, playing pretty damn well.
And this is a guy who was a starter at left tackle for Notre Dame as a freshman. He's the first freshman to ever start at left tackle at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for Joe Alt, he probably would have stuck over at left tackle. And if he had stayed this season at Notre Dame, he probably would have been a first-round pick in the 2025 draft. So this is a guy who has the talent, certainly, to be able to play that position.
Yeah, you can't draw it up any better. Another passing thought here, and this is from earlier today. I'm driving in, Adam. I think as crazy as fans are about this team and this city, as much as we've talked about it, I still think we might have underestimated just how nuts this city is going to be and is for this team. There were, I'm no expert, say that up front, it looked at least 1,000, maybe 1,500 people waiting to get in today on the first day of good. This is the first day of good weather of open practices. It's rained or threatened rain every open practice. And this is the first one where it's clear, partly cloudy, whatever you want to call it. And I could be wrong, don't want to misspeak, but it looked to me like it was going to be really, really difficult to get everybody in here.
I'll be honest. I think the fact that it was packed the way that it was on Friday when it was absolutely storming, I think that says a whole lot more about the fan base than today when it's overflowing, when it's nice and sunny out. So I think Friday was more impressive from a fan standpoint.
Yeah, but the numbers just hit you in the face today.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just, like, awe-inspiring.
Let me tell you something. It hit me in the face on Friday when I get here, and there's no place to sit, and that's when
and
it's
you were
storming.
In traffic.
Yeah, it's
another passing thought here. Stephon Diggs, how many different ways can you say it? This guy is, I don't know if he's a different player, but he's certainly a comfortable player that has shown no signs of being anything but perfect for this team. I'm talking from the way he gathers the team in the huddle before practice even begins, to the way he came over to the sideline during warm-ups and was working the crowd, to the plays that he's making. One of the plays that we just saw in the red zone was Stephon Diggs making a terrific catch, one versus one. And I think it was in front of, it wasn't Lassiter, it was the backup, and I forget the number. But Stephon Diggs, like, talk about you can't ask for a better situation. You can't ask for a better fit right now, anyway, from Stephon Diggs.
I'm really looking forward to asking Noah Brown about Stephon Diggs when we have him on, when they come off the field.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, there are all these preconceived notions that you have about Diggs and just the reputation that he's gotten from the outside. But I'll never forget this. I had a conversation with Austin Rivers years ago, back when he was playing with the Rockets. And it was about Russell Westbrook. And he told me that Russell Westbrook is the best teammate that he ever had.
Yeah.
And he said that he had heard stories about how great of a teammate Russell Westbrook was, but he didn't actually believe them.
No, because he sees the other stuff.
Yes, because he saw all the other stuff, and he heard how people who did not play with Westbrook had talked about him. So it wasn't until that he actually got into the same locker room with him that he understood, okay, yeah, this guy really is as great of a teammate as some people have heard. So I'm curious just to know from Noah Brown what he has thought of Stephon Diggs after getting to know him now for the last few months.
I totally agree. Another passing thought, and you mentioned this at the top of the show, worth mentioning again, C.J. Stroud, 100%, got stepped on at Saturday's practice, limped a little bit. D'Amico and he both said, nothing to see here, and it's nothing to see here. It's just one of those things, you know, eggshells, man. Anytime anything like that happens, you're on eggshells.
I did see some stuff over the weekend of people saying, well, maybe C.J. Stroud shouldn't have practiced or anything like that, at least for a couple of days.
Could have been worse.
Well, the thing is, that was a freak accident that happened. Like, that is the only way a quarterback is ever going to get touched in a training camp practice is if somebody accidentally steps on him.
Yeah.
Like, there is a better chance of getting hurt just by running than there is by getting hit.
Or a scrum, as we talked about. Like, yes. That was what worried me about that scrum that they had when Dalton Schultz and Derek Stingley got mixed up. Another passing thought here. Okay, this is an interesting one to me. First of all, we mentioned last week that Jalen Petrie doesn't even go over with the safeties anymore. I mean, there's three guys that work during warm-ups, during pre-practice, so to speak, drills with the nickels, and it's Petrie is always there. Here's the other thing that was interesting. They started working. I don't know if I'm going to get slapped on the hand for this or not by the Texans, but I haven't heard otherwise, so I'm going to tell you. So they were working in dime packages. We've seen nickel. We haven't seen a lot of dime in all this. And the linebackers were Al Shaair in the middle, and then Jalen Petrie and Deshaun Phillips looked like they were lining next to him at linebacker. So Deshaun Phillips and Petrie, that's going to be a really, really impressive pass rush if you do blitzes off of that, because Deshaun Phillips can tackle, can hit guys, and we know about Petrie as well. So that was interesting to me.
Why would you get in trouble for disclosing that?
I don't know.
It's an open practice.
It's an
open. There's a million people here.
Oh, you know what? You're right. What am I thinking?
That's what I don't get. It's like, okay, we can shoot. You know, media can
stop
shooting. Yeah,
like, okay. And then everybody with the cameras.
Yeah, there's thousands of people over here with phones. What are they? Do they have to put their phones away too?
Well, no, I guess they don't. All right. I'm just the messenger. These are just facts, okay? No opinion at all. They did field goals. They did field goals. They did, I believe it was 6 field goal attempts. It was 5. The first 2 were inside 40 yards. Now, keep in mind, it's a breezy day.
Yeah.
It's a pretty breezy day. I think the wind's going to get up to 20 mile an hour, 25.
No, you know what? I don't think it's that breezy. I think we're just sitting with the fan.
No. So. I looked at the forecast.
Oh, okay.
And you look at the flags on the... No, they said by about 11 it should be like 25, but it's a little bit of a breeze, all right? So I'm not making excuses. These are just facts. Kyahmi Fairburn, 0 for 2 from inside 40 yards, and 2 for 3 from outside 50 yards. So... I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, that's why you're at training camp, whatever you want to say. But Nick Caserio was standing there with his hands on his knees, and I was like, oh, man, I don't want to miss anything when Nick Caserio is watching me.
So are you saying Kyahmi Fairbairn is washed?
Just facts. I did not say anything of the kind.
Sounds like you think Kyahmi Fairbairn is washed.
Just telling
and that
you.
His job is now with Jeopardy.
I am just telling you what is happening.
He missed. I saw him miss from 58. I think he hit from, what, 52 and
55? Inside 50, yeah.
Yeah, he was 4 for 4 on Friday in a driving rainstorm. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be fine.
I think he'll be fine. However,
you think he's washed? But
I did not say that.
Aaron's not paying attention now. Figgy. Did by what you just heard from John, do you think he believes Kyahmi Fairbairn is washed?
I think so.
Okay. No, God, you guys are both the same. You guys are both the
same.
But
see, you saying all that, but you ain't talk about the 60-yarders he hit earlier.
Yes, we did.
We talked about that on Friday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So why you going to mention this?
Because all I'm doing is sharing facts. Figgy, they pay us to sit at the 50-yard line and share information with our lovely listeners, and I am merely saying there has been no opinion injected.
You are merely saying, Kyahmi Fairbairn is lost.
There has been no opinion injected whatsoever.
All right, so bring up the C.J. Stroud in the exception then.
I said,
just bring that up then.
I simply said
that one.
0 for 2 from inside 50 and 2 for 3.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's It's Texans Training Camp. Live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, back at the Methodist Training Center, it's day 9 of Texans training camp. Adam Spillane and John Lopez with you. Mentioned earlier that there was someone in the injury tent for the Texans. It was Titus Howard, the right tackle. He has reemerged from the tent and appears to be okay, but at least for that last stretch of 11-on-11, it was Nick Brooker working with the – he was the first-team right tackle for that last stretch, the guy who's second-year man out of Ole Miss who they picked up on from waivers. So that was who was playing right tackle with Blake Fisher, the second-round pick, playing left tackle.
Right. Since Blake Fisher was there and Laramie gets the day off, it was Brooker there. But, yeah, you're right. That's the first thing I noticed. He did seem to be moving around pretty good and seems to be out here.
But that's why, again, that's why you go and draft Blake Fisher in the second round.
Yes.
Because you need that second guy. Laramie Tunsil has not gotten through a full season in, I think, a long time. And the same thing with Titus Howard. Like, you need to be ready for when that tackle goes down, and you need to have a backup who can handle that role if it comes up.
And you just read my mind on the first of the passing thoughts here on day 9 at Texans training camp, and that was that. Like, I don't think Blake Fisher could have drawn up a better scenario for a team to go to. First of all, there's opportunity, but there's no real expectation, you know, like from the outside looking in or from us or whatever. Because it's Laramie Tunsil, it's Titus Howard. That's the story. They're going to be grabbing the headlines. Blake Fisher has gotten, I think, just about every rep as a starter at tackle. I mean, you can't ask for a better situation than that. And by the way, playing pretty damn well.
And this is a guy who was a starter at left tackle for Notre Dame as a freshman. He's the first freshman to ever start at left tackle at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for Joe Ault, he probably would have stuck over at left tackle. And if he had stayed this season at Notre Dame, he probably would have been a first-round pick in the 2025 draft. So this is a guy who has the talent, certainly, to be able to play that position.
Yeah, you can't draw it up any better. Another passing thought here, and this is from earlier today. I'm driving in, Adam. I think as crazy as fans are about this team and this city, as much as we've talked about it, I still think we might have underestimated just how nuts this city is going to be and is for this team. There were, I'm no expert, say that up front, it looked at least 1,000, maybe 1,500 people waiting to get in today on the first day of good. This is the first day of good weather of open practices. It's rained or threatened rained every open practice. And this is the first one where it's clear, partly cloudy, whatever you want to call it. And I could be wrong, don't want to misspeak, but it looked to me like it was going to be really, really difficult to get everybody in here.
I'll be honest. I think the fact that it was packed the way that it was on Friday when it was absolutely storming, I think that says a whole lot more about the fan base than today when it's overflowing, when it's nice and sunny out. So I think Friday was more impressive from a fan standpoint.
Yeah, but the numbers just hit you in the face today.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just, like, awe-inspiring.
Let me tell you something. It hit me in the face on Friday when I get here, and there's no place to sit, and that's when
and you were
storming.
In traffic.
Yeah, it's
another passing thought here. Stephon Diggs, how many different ways can you say it? This guy is, I don't know if he's a different player, but he's certainly a comfortable player that has shown no signs of being anything but perfect for this team. I'm talking from the way he gathers the team in the huddle before practice even begins, to the way he came over to the sideline during warm-ups and was working the crowd, to the plays that he's making. One of the plays that we just saw in the red zone was Stephon Diggs making a terrific catch, one versus one, and I think it was in front of it wasn't Lassiter, it was the backup, and I forget the number, but Stephon Diggs, like, talk about, you can't ask for a better situation. You can't ask for a better fit right now, anyway, from Stephon Diggs.
I'm really looking forward to asking Noah Brown about Stephon Diggs when we have him on, when they come off the field.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, there are all these preconceived notions that you have about Diggs and just the reputation that he's gotten from the outside. But I'll never forget this. I had a conversation with Austin Rivers years ago, back when he was playing with the Rockets. And it was about Russell Westbrook. And he told me that Russell Westbrook is the best teammate that he ever had.
Yeah.
And he said that
he had heard stories about how great of a teammate Russell Westbrook was, but he didn't actually believe them.
No, because he sees the other stuff.
Yes, because of, he saw all the other stuff, and he heard how people from who did not play with Westbrook had talked about him. So it wasn't until that he actually got into the same locker room with him that he understood, okay, yeah, this guy really is as great of a teammate as some people have heard. So I'm curious just to know from Noah Brown what he has thought of Stephon Diggs after getting to know him now for the last few months.
I totally agree. Another passing thought, and you mentioned this at the top of the show, worth mentioning again, C.J. Stroud, 100%, got stepped on at Saturday's practice, limped a little bit. D'Amico and he both said, nothing to see here, and it's nothing to see here. It's just one of those things, you know, eggshells, man. Anytime anything like that happens, you're on eggshells.
I did see some stuff over the weekend of people saying, well, maybe C.J. Stroud shouldn't practice or anything like that, at least for a couple of days.
It would have been worse.
Well, the thing is, that was a freak accident that happened. Like, that is the only way a quarterback is ever going to get touched in a training camp practice is if somebody accidentally steps on him.
Yeah.
Like, there is a better chance of getting hurt just by running than there is by getting hit.
Or a scrum, as we talked about. Like, that was what worried me about that scrum that they had when Dalton Schultz and Derek Stingley got mixed up. Another passing thought here. Okay, this is an interesting one to me. First of all, we mentioned last week that Jalen Petrie doesn't even go over with the safeties anymore. I mean, there's three guys that work during warm-ups, during pre-practice, so to speak, drills with the nickels, and it's Petrie is always there. Here's the other thing that was interesting. They started working. I don't know if I'm going to get slapped on the hand for this or not by the Texans, but I haven't heard otherwise, so I'm going to tell you. So they were working in dime packages. We've seen nickel. We haven't seen a lot of dime in all this. And the linebackers were Al-Shaair in the middle, and then Jalen Petrie and Deshaun Phillips looked like they were lining next to him at linebacker. So Deshaun Phillips and Petrie, that's going to be a really, really impressive pass rush if you do blitzes off of that, because Deshaun Phillips can tackle, can hit guys, and we know about Petrie as well. So that was interesting to me.
Why would you get in trouble for disclosing that?
I don't know.
It's an open practice.
It's an
open. There's a million people here.
Oh, you know what? You're right. What am I thinking?
That's what I don't get. It's like, okay, we can shoot. You know, media can
stop shooting.
Yeah, like, okay.
And then everybody with the cameras.
there's thousands of people over here with phones. What are they? Do they have to put their phones away too?
No, I guess they don't. All right. I'm just the messenger. These are just facts, okay? No opinion at all. They did field goals. They did field goals. They did, I believe it was six field goal attempts. It was five. The first two were inside 40 yards. Now, keep in mind, it's a breezy day.
Yeah.
It's a pretty breezy day. I think the wind's going to get up to 20 mile an hour, 25.
I don't think it's that breezy. I think we're just sitting with the fans.
I looked at the forecast.
Oh, okay.
And you look at the flags on the... They said by about 11 it should be like 25, but it's a little bit of a breeze, all right? So I'm not making excuses. These are just facts. Kyahmi Fairburn, 0 for 2 from inside 40 yards, and 2 for 3 from outside 50 yards. So... I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, that's why you're at training camp, whatever you want to say. But Nick Caserio was standing there with his hands on his knees, and I was like, oh, man, I don't want to miss anything when Nick Caserio is watching me.
So are you saying Kyahmi Fairbairn is washed?
Just facts. I did not say anything of the kind.
Sounds like you think Kyahmi Fairbairn is washed.
Just telling
and that
you.
His job is now with Jeopardy.
I am just telling you what is happening.
He missed. I saw him miss from 58. I think he hit from, what, 52 and
55? Inside 50, yeah.
Yeah, he was 4 for 4 on Friday in a driving rainstorm. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be fine.
I think he'll be fine. However,
you think he's washed? But
I did not say that.
Aaron's not paying attention now.
This
Figgy, did by what you just heard from John, do you think he believes Kyahmi Fairbairn is washed?
I think so.
Okay. No, God, you guys are both the same. You guys are both the
but
same.
But see, you saying all that, but you ain't talk about the 60-yarders he hit earlier.
Yes, we did.
We talked about that on Friday.
We mentioned them on Friday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So why are you going to mention this?
Because all I'm doing is sharing facts. Figgy, they pay us to sit at the 50-yard line and share information with our lovely listeners, and I am merely saying there has been no opinion injected.
You are merely saying, Kyahmi Fairbairn is watching.
There has been no opinion injected whatsoever.
All right, so bring up the C.J. Stroud in the second. Then.
I
so just bring that up then
I simply
and question that one.
0-for-2 from inside 50 and 2-for-3 from outside 50. That's all right, I said.
All right, spit some more facts then. Spit a fact about C.J. Stroud throwing the interception.
I'll spit some facts about C.J. Stroud. All right, here we go. This one is interesting. Remember Dare Ogunbowale when Fairbairn was hurt?
Yes.
They just practiced it, and he made the field goal.
Did they?
Dare Ogunbowale, I believe it was probably 30-yard field goal, 25-30-yard field goal.
So basically like an extra point.
Like an extra point. Ogunbowale, I'm not going to say split the uprights, but it went through the uprights. It went through the uprights, so that was kind of cool. And it did lead me to think to the whole thing that you and I have both talked about and others as well. I think it's on the table that Ogunbowale might be one of the, in certain situations, one of the kickers on the kickoff, or the kicker on the kickoff.
I mean, I think if anything, you want to make sure that he can actually like kick field goals if you need it, because that almost cost them a game last year when Fairbairn got hurt and they weren't kicking extra points. Like, you need to make sure that you have somebody who, if that happens again, whether it's Townsend or whether it's Ogunbowale or somebody
else.
What
a luxury.
Yeah, like, you, that's like, there are times where you need somebody to do something that they're not used to doing in an emergency, and you need to know if you have somebody that can do that. So it's not just kickoffs. It's do we have somebody who can kick an extra point or can kick a short field goal if we're in a desperate situation?
Luxury. One more passing thought for you guys here. And I know this is going to get people so excited, but I'm excited, and I might just go ahead and be all in on this cat. Kamari Lassiter went one-on-one outside coverage with Noah Brown, who will join us right off the practice field probably about 11 a.m., and the ball was perfectly thrown. I mean, perfectly thrown by C.J. Stroud. And Lassiter went up at the very last second, had his hand on Noah Brown, went up with his right hand as he's turning, and knocked the ball free. This guy's ball skills, say what you want, and I have, and you have, about the 4.6 40 and all that stuff. We had him join us, and he talked about it. That guy is making some plays out here, man.
Yeah, he is. He's been impressive so far, especially when you look at the guys that he's going up against.
Yeah.
He said it. Like, he's having to defend really good wide receivers who are getting balls thrown to them by a really good quarterback, and he's been able to more than hold his own. We'll have more from Texans training camp here a little bit later in the show. We'll hear from Noah Brown whenever practice is over, but coming up next, we'll switch gears to the Astros. The trade deadline is tomorrow. They just took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers in what was a really fun series, but yesterday's loss and even Saturday's game to a certain degree, it showed some of the flaws of the roster that probably need to be addressed before the deadline hits tomorrow afternoon. That's next on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're In the Loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, starting pitching is a priority, without a question. You know, we have 7 starters on the IL. We have to go get a starter. We would like to get a bullpen guy. That would be, you know, pretty helpful because we, you know, we wore our guys down a little bit in the first half. They pitched a lot. And so to give these guys a break sometimes would be good. So if we can get a bullpen guy, that would be nice. And if a bat, you know, if a bat comes along that makes sense, we'll pursue it. But we are working in those three lanes of players.
All right, that was Dana Brown on Friday talking about the Astros' needs and their priorities at the trade deadline. We're back here at the Methodist Training Center. It's day 9 of Texans training camp. Adam Spillane and John Lopez with you on In the Loop. Figgy back in the studio. And the Astros take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers over the weekend. Actually, real quick, one update. Titus Howard is back on the field. He was just in on some 11-on-11 reps after he spent about 10 minutes in the injury tent. So good news on that regard. Now, back to the Astros. They take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. Framber Valdez, excellent on Friday night in a shutout win. And then they have the big comeback on Saturday, down 6-0. They win the game 7-6 on the Alex Bregman walk-off. And then yesterday they lose 6-2, where they just offensively were not very good. Pitching, frankly, was Spencer Arrighetti was good. The bullpen after him was not good. And, John, again, I feel like I said the same thing many, many times, but you saw the issues arise with the Astros here in the last couple of days and some of the things that they need to solve.
Yeah.
The main thing, obviously, is going to be starting pitching, which they are very, very thin at that position. They really only have the 5 healthy starters right now. Justin Verlander and Luis Garcia are making progress in their returns. But, like, today, you're asking Jake Bloss to go up against Paul Skeens. That's not a great matchup for
you. No, it's not. Wait, can you say that again?
Yeah, so Jake Bloss against Paul Skeens.
Not a great matchup. Now,
hey, two members of the 2023 Major League Baseball draft class, one a little bit better prospect than the other.
Yeah, that's not a great matchup. So much to unpack with the Astros, and as we speak, we're going to keep you obviously in tune with what's going on with the Texans. They are going 11-on-11 again. C.J. Stroud on the field versus the number one defense. We'll let you know on that. But so many things to unpack. First of all, a lot of people were saying, and I wasn't disagreeing, that walk-off Alex Bregman, a lot of people were saying that might be their best win of the year. That might be their best win of the year. And I don't disagree, and I didn't disagree at the time. Yesterday would have been nice to at least back it up with another win. But literally everything that you and I have talked about, that a lot of people have talked about, was on full display. And that is, you know, what they need and the pitching depth and how stretched and strained some of these guys are. I think Blanco is at his limit now, right?
So 125 and two-thirds was his career high for innings pitched in a season.
I think he's right around that.
Now at 119.
119, yeah. So he's right around that. So he, you know, he kind of gave it up a little bit. You know, he pitched okay, and then obviously things kind of unwound a little bit. So everything we've talked about is out there. And then I'm listening to Dana Brown, as you just heard, and it reminded me of, everybody's seen Caddyshack, right? I'll have a hamburger. No, I'll have a cheeseburger. No, I'll have nacho. Like, everything that they need, he said they're in that lane, I think is the term that he used, they need. And other teams in the division are making moves. The Rangers have made a deal. Mariners have made a deal. It could have been, was a terrific win, absolutely spectacular comeback. But, boy, some of their warts are really kind of starting to show a little bit.
Yeah, they go into the deadline here, and there isn't one area of their team where you say, we're set at this spot.
Like, yeah.
They need a bullpen arm. They need a starter. They could use a bat. Like, there are some years where you have known, okay, the roster is good here, but it's flawed there. They don't really have that. I think their roster is flawed really in all three phases. And we've talked so much about starters. I think the bullpen has really, you see the flaws there. Like, you look on Saturday, they're down a run in the seventh inning, and Joe Espada did something that he has not done really since May, and that is use one of the three leverage guys while trailing. And he did that with Brian Abreu. Then in the eighth inning, he goes outside the three. He goes with Taylor Scott for the eighth inning. Scott gives up a homer. The Astros are still able to come back, though. They tied the game in the eighth. Hader keeps it tied in the ninth, and then Bregman walks it off in the bottom of the ninth. Then yesterday, they don't use any of the leverage guys. I was a little surprised that they didn't, because they had done it on Saturday. But what happens? The bullpen really struggles in the eighth and ninth innings. It was Brian King who struggled in the eighth, and then it was Montero who had another bad outing in the ninth. So, like, they are going to need more than the three guys to get them through the rest of this season. And Taylor Scott has been great for them so far, but they need more than four relievers to be able to survive.
And they have to do so. It's not even a choice at this point. Like, they have to do something. The combination of the innings that they're eating up, the starters, and the relievers. And ineffectiveness. Tick, tick, as they say. You know, the trade deadline is tomorrow. Do you think they make more than two moves?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, I think right now, and Dana Brown said this on Friday, it is very much a seller's market. There are a lot of teams looking to buy, and there just aren't a lot of teams to sell. And one of the things I think you're going to start hearing now are contenders trading with one another. And you saw this just in the trade that the Rangers made. They made a trade with Kansas City. Kansas City now is contending for a playoff spot. You look back in 2022, the Astros made a trade with a contender. They made a trade with the Braves. They traded Jake Odorizzi to Atlanta for Will Smith. And so, like, the Astros and Braves could have met in the World Series in 2022. That's how good both those teams were. So that's just one of those things to watch, where it gives you more avenues to add a player if you are also trading with another contender. But oftentimes, that means you're trading off of your major league roster.
Yes, and that might be a bit of an ask. Actually, Dana Brown did talk about that as well. He said, you know, hey, maybe they need something that we need, that we have, and we need something that they have, and it's going to be something that that could make both teams happy, make both teams successful in the trade market. But I think that they have to make at least two moves, both pitching, in my view.
And so Dana Brown did talk about just how much it's going to cost to get pitching, and he even said, like, the cost is high right now.
I think the pricing for pitchers is still pretty high. I think, you know, it's a seller's market. You know, there's a lot of buyers because there's a lot of teams that are still in it, and there's a lot of teams that are feeling like, man, if we can get a pitcher here or a reliever there, we're in good shape. And so I think that's probably what's driving up the market.
I mean, look, my big worry, and this is a confession, but I'll say it right now, as I see these other teams make moves, as you hear Dana Brown talk, as you just heard right there, I don't know if they have the assets, man. Well, I mean, they can find the assets, yeah, but it'll be a severe hit.
That is the problem that they're dealing with right now, and I've seen a lot of people give Dana Brown's taken some heat so far from people online just because they have not made a move yet. But it's difficult. Like when you have a dollar and everybody else has $2, and like it's hard to make that work.
Yeah.
So you've got to get creative. You've got to find some other guys. Like you can't just like go and like force these teams to take your offers. Like the teams have to want to take them. And right now, it doesn't look like that's been the case.
And I'm not even talking about like Dana Brown is shirking or not, you know, doing his job to the fullest or whatever. I just don't think they have it. I think the market is saying, kind of to your analogy there, you know, we can't afford this house. You know, other people can. So they're going to put the bid in.
They are going to get. And so far, like, they've been in on some of these guys that have been traded so far.
Yeah.
But they just don't have.
Well, Paredes was traded.
Yeah. Isak Paredes went to the Cubs. Yeah. That was a.
And they were reportedly in on it.
Yeah. That was a non-contender for non-contender type trade.
Yeah.
One of the starting pitchers that was traded last week, they were in on. But again, it's just really difficult to make that work. When you don't have a lot to offer and you can't force teams to take your bad offers, and that essentially is what the Astros are trying to do. Now, there will be more guys that come open. There will be more guys that are out there. There will be more teams that probably look to sell here in the next 36 hours or what have you. That's when things really start to heat up. But I expect them to make at least one move. I'm telling you, though, they need to make more than just the one. I really think they need to add someone in all three phases. They need to add a starter. They need to add a bullpen piece. And they really need to add a bat, because you saw this yesterday. The drop-off in right field has been so staggering here without Kyle Tucker. And, like, Joey Loperfido, he's a decent prospect, but he looks totally overwhelmed right now. And yesterday he goes 0 for 3, and with three strikeouts, he saw 12 pitches. He saw 12 pitches, struck out three times, hasn't been very good here recently. Chaz McCormick, we've talked about how much he struggled. And then you've got, like, the other option is Trey Cabbage. Like, those options right now just aren't good enough, and who knows when Kyle Tucker is going to be back.
Well,
you need more punch off your bench. You just do.
That's the other thing that Dana Brown said over the weekend. He said the whole Kyle Tucker injury situation has been frustrating. No kidding.
Yeah. It's been frustrating for a lot of people.
No kidding.
And he's still not running.
Yeah.
Like, here we are. It'll be 2 months. You know, it was 8 weeks ago today when he got hurt. When he got hurt, and he still is not running after all that time. And I don't think that anybody, you have the two guys hurt right now with Verlander and Kyle Tucker. I don't think anybody thought that those injuries would be as long as they've been.
Yeah.
And Verlander is going to throw off the mound again tomorrow. So he's at least getting closer. Maybe he's on a rehab assignment next week, but he still has to get that pitch count built up. So, like, they're going to add pieces from within with Verlander and with Tucker here at some point, but they need to add more from outside the organization, because as crazy as it sounds, I think the roster as is right now is better built to win in the postseason than it is to win in the regular season.
Absolutely.
Just because of just the lack of depth that they have. All right, but big series coming up here with the Pirates. Paul Skenes on the mound for them today. Paul Skenes might be next year. He might be one of the five best starting pitchers in all of baseball right now. And then you also get to see O'Neill Cruz. Really fun shortstop for the Pirates, who the Astros have never seen before. So that's at Minute Maid Park this week. But coming up next, we will get back to the Texans, because Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analysis put out his preview guide. I think it came out a couple of weeks ago. But there are some numbers in there about C.J. Stroud that I found very, very interesting. I'm going to share those with you, and we'll get John's reaction to them next on Sports Radio 610.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Localize It. Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, starting pitching is a priority, without a question. You know, we have 7 starters on the IL. We have to go get a starter. We would like to get a bullpen guy. That would be, you know, pretty helpful because we, you know, we wore our guys down a little bit in the first half. They pitched a lot. And so to give these guys a break sometimes would be good. So if we can get a bullpen guy, that would be nice. And if a bat, you know, if the bat comes along that makes sense, we'll pursue it. But we are working in those three lanes of players.
All right, that was Dana Brown on Friday talking about the Astros' needs and their priorities at the trade deadline. We're back here at the Methodist Training Center. It's day 9 of Texans training camp. Adam Spillane and John Lopez with you on In the Loop. Figgy back in the studio. And the Astros take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers over the weekend. Actually, real quick, one update. Titus Howard is back on the field. He was just in on some 11-on-11 reps after he spent about 10 minutes in the injury tent. So good news on that regard. Now, back to the Astros. They take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. Framber Valdez, excellent on Friday night in a shutout win. And then they have the big comeback on Saturday, down 6-0. They win the game 7-6 on the Alex Bregman walk-off. And then yesterday they lose 6-2, where they just offensively were not very good. Pitching, frankly, was Spencer Arrighetti was good. The bullpen after him was not good. And John, again, I feel like I said the same thing many, many times, but you saw the issues arise with the Astros here in the last couple of days and some of the things that they need to solve.
Yeah.
The main thing, obviously, is going to be starting pitching, which they are very, very thin at that position. They really only have the 5 healthy starters right now. Justin Verlander and Luis Garcia are making progress in their returns. But, like, today, you're asking Jake Blas to go up against Paul Skeens. That's not a great matchup for
no,
you.
No, it's not. Wait, can you say that again?
Yeah, so Jake Blas against Paul Skeens.
Not a great matchup.
Now, hey, two members of the 2023 Major League Baseball draft class, one a little bit better prospect than the other.
Yeah, that's not a great matchup. So much to unpack with the Astros. And as we speak, we're going to keep you obviously in tune with what's going on with the Texans. They are going 11-on-11 again. C.J. Stroud on the field versus the number one defense. We'll let you know on that. But so many things to unpack. First of all, a lot of people were saying, and I wasn't disagreeing, that walk-off Alex Bregman, a lot of people were saying that might be their best win of the year. That might be their best win of the year. And I don't disagree, and I didn't disagree at the time. Yesterday would have been nice to at least back it up with another win. But literally everything that you and I have talked about, that a lot of people have talked about, was on full display. And that is, you know, what they need. And the pitching depth and how stretched and strained some of these guys are. I think Blanco is at his limit now, right?
So 125 and two-thirds was his career high for innings pitched in a season.
I think he's right around that.
Now at 119.
119, yeah. So he's right around that. So he, you know, he kind of gave it up a little bit. You know, he pitched okay, and then obviously things kind of unwound a little bit. So everything we've talked about is out there. And then I'm listening to Dana Brown, as you just heard, and it reminded me of, everybody's seen Caddyshack, right? I'll have a hamburger. No, I'll have a cheeseburger. No, I'll have nacho. Like, everything that they need, he said they're in that lane, I think is the term that he used, they need. And other teams in the division are making moves. The Rangers have made a deal. The Mariners have made a deal. It could have been, was a terrific win, absolutely spectacular comeback. But, boy, some of their warts are really kind of starting to show a little bit.
Yeah, they go into the deadline here, and there isn't one area of their team where you say, we're set at this spot.
Like, yeah.
They need a bullpen arm. They need a starter. They could use a bat. Like, there are some years where you have known, okay, the roster is good here, but it's flawed there. They don't really have that. I think their roster is flawed really in all three phases. And we've talked so much about starters. I think the bullpen has really, you see the flaws there. Like, you look on Saturday, they're down a run in the 7th inning, and Joe Espada did something that he has not done really since May, and that is use one of the 3 leverage guys while trailing. And he did that with Brian Abreu. Then in the 8th inning, he goes outside the 3. He goes with Taylor Scott for the 8th inning. Scott gives up a homer. The Astros are still able to come back, though. They tied the game in the 8th. Hader keeps it tied in the 9th, and then Bregman walks it off in the bottom of the 9th. Then yesterday, they don't use any of the leverage guys. I was a little surprised that they didn't, because they had done it on Saturday. But what happens?
the bullpen really struggles in the eighth and ninth innings. With it was Brian King who struggled in the eighth,
yeah.
And then it was Montero who had another bad outing in the ninth. So like they are going to need more than the three guys to get them through the rest of this season. And Taylor Scott has been great for them so far, but they need more than four relievers to be able to survive.
And they have to do so. It's not even a choice at this point. Like they have to do something. A combination of the innings that they're eating up, the starters, and the relievers, and ineffectiveness. Tick tick, as they say. You know, the trade deadline is tomorrow. Do you think they make more than two moves?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, I think right now, and Dana Brown said this on Friday, it is very much a seller's market. There are a lot of teams looking to buy, and there just aren't a lot of teams to sell. And one of the things I think you're going to start hearing now are contenders trading with one another. And you saw this just in the trade that the Rangers made. They made a trade with Kansas City. Kansas City right now is contending for a playoff spot. You look back in 2022, the Astros made a trade with a contender. They made a trade with the Braves. They traded Jake Odorizzi to Atlanta for Will Smith. And so, like, the Astros and Braves could have met in the World Series in 2022. That's how good both those teams were. So that's just one of those things to watch where it gives you more avenues to add a player if you are also trading with another contender. But oftentimes that means you're trading off of your major league roster.
Yes, and that might be a bit of an ask. Actually, Dana Brown did talk about that as well. He said, you know, hey, maybe they need something that we need, that we have, and we need something that they have, and it's going to be something that that could make both teams happy, make both teams successful in the trade market. But I think that they have to make at least two moves, both pitching, in my view.
And so Dana Brown did talk about just how much it's going to cost to get pitching, and he even said, like, the cost is high right now.
I think the price of the pitchers is still pretty high. I think, you know, it's a seller's market. You know, there's a lot of buyers because there's a lot of teams that are still in it, and there's a lot of teams that are feeling like, man, if we can get a pitcher here or a reliever there, we're in good shape. And so I think that's probably what's driving up the market.
I mean, look, my big worry, and this is a confession, but I'll say it right now. As I see these other teams make moves, as you hear Dana Brown talk, as you just heard right there, I don't know if they have the assets, man. Well, they can find the assets, but it'll be a severe hit.
That is the problem that they're dealing with right now. And I've seen a lot of people give Dana Brown's taking some heat so far from people online just because they have not made a move yet. But it's difficult. Like when you have a dollar and everybody else has $2, and like it's hard to make that work.
Yeah.
So you've got to get creative. You've got to find some other guys. Like you can't just like go and like force these teams to take your offers. Like the teams have to want to take them. And right now it doesn't look like that's been the case.
And I'm not even talking about like Dana Brown is shirking or not, you know, doing his job to the fullest or whatever. I just don't think they have it. I think the market is saying, kind of to your analogy there, you know, we can't afford this house. You know, other people can. So they're going to put the bid in.
They are going to get. And so far, like, they've been in on some of these guys that have been traded so far.
Yeah.
But they just don't have.
Well, Paredes was traded.
Yeah. Isak Paredes went to the Cubs.
Yeah.
That was a.
And they were reportedly in on it.
Yeah. That was a non-contender for non-contender type trade.
Yeah.
One of the starting pitchers that was traded last week, they were in on. But again, it's just really difficult to make that work. When you don't have a lot to offer and you can't force teams to take your bad offers, and that essentially is what the Astros are trying to do. Now, there will be more guys that come open. There will be more guys that are out there. There will be more teams that probably look to sell here in the next 36 hours or what have you. That's when things really start to heat up. But I expect them to make at least one move. I'm telling you, though, they need to make more than just the one. They need to be making I really think they need to add someone in all three phases. They need to add a starter. They need to add a bullpen piece. And they really need to add a bat, because you saw this yesterday. The drop-off in right field has been so staggering here without Kyle Tucker. And, like, Joey Loperfido, he's a decent prospect, but he looks totally overwhelmed right now. And yesterday he goes 0-for-3, and with three strikeouts, he saw 12 pitches. He saw 12 pitches, struck out three times, hasn't been very good here recently. Chaz McCormick, we've talked about how much he struggled. And then you've got, like, the other option is Trey Cabbage. Like, those options right now just aren't good enough, and who knows when Kyle Tucker is going to be back.
Well,
you need more punch off your bench. You just do.
That's the other thing that Dana Brown said. over the weekend. He said the whole Kyle Tucker injury situation has been frustrating. No kidding.
Yeah. It's been frustrating for a lot of people.
No kidding.
And he's still not running.
Yeah.
Like, here we are. It'll be 2 months. You know, it was 8 weeks ago today when he got hurt. When he got hurt, and he still is not running after all that time. And I don't think that anybody – you have the two guys hurt right now with Verlander and Kyle Tucker. I don't think anybody thought that those injuries would be as long as they've been.
Yeah.
And Verlander is going to throw off the mound again tomorrow. So he's at least getting closer. Maybe he's on a rehab assignment next week, but he still has to get that pitch count built up. So, like, they're going to add pieces from within with Verlander and with Tucker here at some point, but they need to add more from outside the organization, because as crazy as it sounds, I think the roster as is right now is better built to win in the postseason
sure.
than it is to win in the regular
Absolutely.
Season. Absolutely. Just because of just the lack of depth that they have. All right. But big series coming up here with the Pirates. Paul Skeens on the mound for them today. Paul Skeens might be next year. He might be one of the five best starting pitchers in all of baseball right now. And then you also get to see O'Neill Cruz. Really fun shortstop for the Pirates, who the Astros have never seen before. So that's at Minute Maid Park this week. But coming up next, we will get back to the Texans, because Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analysis put out his preview guide. I think it came out a couple of weeks ago. But there are some numbers in there about C.J. Stroud that mm-hmm. I found very, very interesting. I'm going to share those with you, and we'll get John's reaction to them next on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.